Welcome to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment, a personal guide to achieving your financial goals. In each episode, certified financial planner Dominique Henderson reveals insights to the underlying truths of how to be truly financially content by learning to put your money where your heart is. Dominique is the owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, LLC, a fee-only registered investment advisory firm offering comprehensive financial planning and wealth management services to entrepreneurs. You can learn more about Dominique and his firm by visiting their website, www.djh-capital.com, or on social media by the hashtag Financial Literacy Bootcamp. Now here's the maven himself, Dominique Henderson.
Welcome back to the Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson, and today we are wrapping up our discussion on money and psychology. This is part 4, episode 27. And so I want to spend a little time on recap today, and we will bring this in for a landing with 3 big ideas from this whole talk and what you can use in order to kind of prevent what I would call irrational purchasing behavior and be more rational with your purchases, both current and future. So in part 1, we talked about the 5 ways to spend money. Real briefly, you need to go back and listen to that episode to kind of set up this discussion. But real briefly, we spend money on tax payments to the government. We cannot avoid this. This will happen throughout our lives, and it's likely that it's going to be anywhere from, over your lifetime, it's going to be anywhere from 10% of your income to 50% of your income. If you adjust that for inflation, even more than that. So then you're going to spend money on debt. You're going to buy a house. You're going to buy a car. You're going to have student loans. You're going to do things like this. You're going to finance a vacation, you're gonna have credit card debt. You're gonna have debt, right? Even if you live debt free, there's gonna be a portion of your life where you live not debt free. So, third, if you're a Christian, you're going to at least give some of your income to a charity or a church or some other type of cause, some nonprofit cause. So these 3 constants in life don't go away no matter how old you get. I mean, even you pay taxes even in death if you want to talk about this state tax. Okay, and so those are 3 constants that you really can't avoid, and it's going to consume the majority of what you bring in. I would probably say upwards to 70% on average. So with that being considered, the last, let's call it 70% that's being consumed on those first 3, the last 30% of your income is used for lifestyle support and saving and investing for future lifestyle support. Okay, so you got your current self and your future self. And we'll call number 5, just for ease of use, we'll call it saving and investing, right? So those last 2 ways are on you, right? Now, how much you consume right now in category 4 is totally up to you. Now, granted, I mean, having a family and different, whether you live in California or you live in Montana, the cost of living is going to be different. I get that. All things equal, though, you have a lot of discretion over how much you're going to consume of your current income, which means by default, whatever's left over is the only amount that you can save. Now, some people are consuming way more than what they should, and therefore they don't have anything left over to save. But really the genesis of this talk, and really what I'm trying to get you to understand, is that there's an awareness you need to have around the different types of tactics and marketing techniques that are, given to us through media and through, what happens with, trying to keep up with the Joneses and our peers and all this other kind of stuff that we read and consume and take in, that affect how much we spend on ourselves. And to be aware of that so that you don't get into a mindless trap of spending money unnecessarily, I gave you these 4 tactics. And really briefly, to kind of recap, those 4 tactics were the psychological denial, like buying lottery tickets. It was the commitment and consistency tendency, the notion of following through on our own word, even if our own word is wrong. We'll stick to that. We'll put money behind it, even if it doesn't need to be funded to that extent. The third one would be this association, or as Mr. Munger would say, Pavlovian association, where you basically associate having one particular product or service with a behavior. Like, you know, for instance, I gave the example of the Reebok pump. When the Reebok pump came out, people actually thought they played basketball better because they were wearing that shoe. When in fact, their skills probably dictated how well they played, not a shoe. That makes a lot of sense, right? But, you know, there were people that went out and bought that shoe because they just knew they were going to play basketball better. And then, you know, when you put Pavlovian association together with social proof, you know, the social proof would be, you know, having a star endorse that. So, you know, LeBron James drinks Sprite. So Sprite must be a good drink to buy. So when I'm looking at, you know, all the different drink choices, I can buy Sprite. Now, drink choice is not that big a deal because the size of the item in that budget, you know, or any particular budget for that matter, is not that big a deal. But when there's bigger or larger ticket items that get endorsed and have the social proof to show that this is something that you really need, then sometimes we go out and buy that without even really justifying why we need that or not. So those are the four tactics. Now, today we're going to talk about the big ideas you should have from this. And I really have three big ideas. The first is be aware, right? It's just really kind of the genesis and the theme of everything I'm talking about now is just be aware. You know, there's going to be tons of products and services that we consume. And these guys, marketers, you know, let's just say that they're the enemy, right? They're in it to win. They have what Bob Caldini calls our weapons of influence, right? So they're very much so using this in a battle-like technique. And you have to fight against them sometimes when it comes to your purchases. Now, there's tons of stuff that we need, but there's also probably 2 or 3x of stuff that we buy that we don't need. And so your awareness around the weapons that are being used, I named 4 tactics. There's many more if you get Bob's book or if you look at the YouTube video that I put in the show notes on episode 26. Then you can get some of the idea of more of the idea around this. But I would say some questions to ask yourself. You know, what is it for? What is the purchase for? What are you needing it for? What is the short and or long term benefit from purchasing whatever you're purchasing? I mean, or service for that matter. I mean, if for instance, I'm in financial advising. Are you going to need a financial advisor forever? Maybe, maybe not. You may need an asset manager, somebody that's going to just outsource that. But will you need a financial plan in your 80s? Probably not. Probably not. You're just going to live off your money. So paying for a financial planner to do financial advising in a planning aspect versus asset management aspect, yeah, you probably can say you don't need the former. You need more of the latter. So it's more thought into why you need something and what it's going to be for. And will you need it tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year? Okay. So be aware. The next thing is going to be a little counterintuitive, a little, but I think you'll appreciate it. Be selfish. I was recently talking to a group of bartenders and they were talking about how, so you have to kind of understand their dynamic. Bartenders, I would say, you know, upwards of 75% or higher of their money, their income is through cash and tips and gratuities and things like that, you know. So not necessarily paychecks per se. So what happens is that the discussion was around how they're controlling their spending since everything's just kind of in their pocket at the end of the day. You know, they don't get a lot of, you know, deposit to the bank and make trips to the bank. They get a bunch of, you know, cash. You know, I would imagine that people that are in the adult entertainment industry, like strippers or stuff, that they have that same type of problem. It's like, how do you actually control the fact that you got money in your pocket and it's not burning a hole there so that you won't spend more? Well, the discussion with the bartenders happened around the fact that what they end up noticing, this trend, and I call it the reciprocity rule, is that when their bartender friends come to their bar and have drinks and tip them and stuff like that, they typically go back to, okay, so bartender number one, I'm gonna have to break this out a little bit further so that you don't get confused. Bartender number one, he's serving his friend bartender number two. Bartender number two comes in, has his drinks, leaves a big tip, and then goes about his way. Then the opposite happens. Bartender number one goes and has drinks at bartender number two's place, wherever he's working. And then he leaves a big tip. And so they keep on doing this big tip thing, and really spending more money than they really should on the size or the time that they're in the bar. They end up spending way more money than they probably should. And this is all around the reciprocity rule. We have this innate thing in us that when somebody does something good for us, that we feel obligated to return the favor. Sometimes this is not a bad thing. But in the case of your money, when you're a bartender and everything you get is cash, and you're walking around with a wad of cash, and you go on a Friday night and have drinks, and you tip big, and you buy more drinks than you really probably should, and all this other kind of stuff, and then your friend does the same thing to you, and you just keep this virtuous cycle going on, and next thing you know, you spent a big size of your budget on returning the favor. And so at the end of the day, I think you just have to be selfish. You have to realize this is not going to be good for me. I'm going to set a budget. You know, I'm going out tonight and I'm only taking $50 with me, or I'm only taking $40 with me, whatever your amount is. You leave the rest of your money at home in a safe, or go deposit in the bank or something like that. So that's being selfish. And the last is to be inconsistent. Because if you go back to the consistent and the consistency and commitment tendency, that's when we use our word, right or wrong, as kind of the justification as to why we're doing something. On the right side, that's great. But when you're wrong about something and you're dead wrong about it, you don't need to be consistent and committed to whatever you said. You need to change it, and you need to reintroduce new logic there. But being inconsistent, you're reintroducing different thoughts into your mind about something. You're looking at additional perspectives. You're not just saying, I'm going to do this because the status quo says do this, right? For the sake of routine. And I think this normally happens with service providers the most. There was a time when we had a young lady cleaning our home. Me and my wife, we were both working. We didn't really have a lot of time. You know, typically speaking, there was nobody in the house for, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day or more. And so we hired somebody, and long story short, you know, we were like, hey, we want you to do this, 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 and this. You know, we're hiring you for X, Y, and Z. And at first, everything was great. I mean, her service was impeccable. But then over time, started getting a little lax and lazy, you know, showing up a little 15 minutes after. And we kind of noticed this because, you know, we weren't here when she typically came. We just kind of left a key. But we would notice, we were like, man, we would find out through different ways that, you know, she came at later times. And then we start to realize that, you know, the amount of work she was trying to get done in a shortened time period was not the same quality as what we, or at least the expectation for why we hired her. So instead of just re-incenting or incentivizing her bad behavior by continuing to pay her for mediocre work, we had a sit down and we said, look, you know, we hired you for X, Y, and Z, and you're not doing X, Y, and Z. So you can either, you know, go find another job and we'll find somebody to come in and do X, Y, and Z, or you can do X, Y, and Z like we originally hired you for. And the service was so much better after that. I mean, I find a lot of times that I'm not a big proponent of this. I just typically, you know, cook myself. But when I go out, if the meal is not to my expectation, I will bring attention to the waitress or the maitre d' or whoever really quickly and say, look, this is not what I paid for. Let's get something else. I think a lot of this happens with service professionals. I mean, I've been in the financial services industry, and I know people that stay with a financial advisor or investment professional year after year after year, and they don't even like the individual. You know, it's just that the whole rigmarole of finding another person and going through that, you know, what I call financial undressing, it's a big hassle. So it is stay with mediocre service. But I think you have to be inconsistent here. That's the whole point of this. Be inconsistent. I mean, your dollars are hard earned. You work for them. I mean, there's no reason why you need to throw them away on a mediocre service or product. I mean, just switch it up. There's so many choices out there. I mean, I don't think you have to continue to do something just for the sake of fulfilling the status quo. So That kind of winds up this series on money and psychology. So hopefully you find that helpful. Now listen, if you are listening on an Apple Power device or Android for that matter, we would love for you to subscribe, get the updates, you know, tell your friends about us. If you are an Apple Power device, you can go to the iTunes store. You can leave a review that will help other people find this podcast because that's the way that things get boosted in that world. And I would really appreciate that. You can also, like I said, subscribe to the updates so that when we release episodes like this or episodes even related to this topic, you'll get an update of it. So all that works like that. As for now, that's all for Maven's Keys to Financial Contentment. We'll see you back next week. All right, take care.